Brian Taylor's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah.
We should have put him on the scouting report.
You forgot.
We forgot about him.
Oh, darn.
Man, he's good. Really proud of the guys. I mean, truly a grinder. You got, you know, Malik and Phil. I usually put those guys in with two fouls. And this isn't meant to be critical, but I didn't trust the fouls that were being called in this game. They were calling some ticky-tack fouls, and I didn't want to risk those guys getting foul trouble. So we struggled to score there down the last 8 minutes or so of the first half. And then Keyshawn, of course, goes out. Then we're playing, I wouldn't say shorthanded, but without Keyshawn, I thought Elijah Clarence came in and was really big for us. Gave us a spark, made some big-time plays. Down the stretch, Taylor big three, Madison big three, Matt with a big three, Phil with huge offense rebounds, Malik with a whole bunch of great passes. And we were guarding. I mean, we literally just couldn't stop Ryan Taylor. And rebounding was bad. But sometimes you got to find a way to win when you don't play your best, and I thought that's what today was.
Our conversation with Coach Muller, by the way, brought to you by Brad Barker Honda, where you are more than a customer, you are family.
I thought Penny Collins in the pregame brought up scouting and playing against Evansville is difficult because it's hard to simulate their offense in practice.
Very hard. Very hard. We played more zone than I've ever played against them. A huge problem with Taylor, and we know it, but is our kind of two best defenders, Matt Hine and Madison Williams, have a 3-inch, 4-inch height differential. And so when he elevates to shoot, our guys are literally right in his face, and he makes them. Tony Willis had a little more length, a little more height, and could do a better job with those. So we went to some zone, and, of course, he was good. It seemed like every time they basket, they got it. But it is hard to prepare for them because of the way they run their offense. But again, you hold them to 41%. They only got foul line 18 times. And I mean, I know that's a decent amount, but not a ton.
Not as many as usual for them.
Not as many as usual. And we get the foul line a ton. So it was pretty good effort by our guys.
It's got to be a credit to Evansville's offense and the way they run and the way they screen that Taylor gets that many open looks, because you know he's the focus of everybody's attention offensively.
Well, it is a credit, and yet I would say he took 22 shots. He was 3 for 11 at half, so he's 7 for 11 in the second half. I would say that of his 22 shots, 14 were not open.
Well, he just rose up.
You got a guy draping all over him half the time, and he's just he gets up and elevates and makes those shots. But their offense still does get him open shots because of the way they run, constant movement. And he's a terrific cutter. And then the kid played 40 minutes. I mean, so he's really good. He was great. But us down the stretch, offensive rebounds were big. Second chance points were big. Found some ball pressure. Forced some turnovers was big. Evansville, Marty does such a good job. They play hard. They're consistent. They're injured. Now we're injured, or hopefully not, but we were today. But we found a way.
Do you know at this point what Keyshawn's status is?
Yeah. No, it's a knee. His knee's hurting.
Yep.
And hurting too much to go back in. We actually have tomorrow and Monday off, but I'm sure we'll get an MR on Monday is my guess, and then we'll keep our fingers crossed until then.
You alluded to it, Dan, but you needed depth in this game, and you definitely got it. And for me, what Taylor Bruninga did at Missouri State is really impressive after having not played in the game before, and Elijah Clarence, the same kind of deal here.
And then he didn't play in the whole first half.
Right.
So that's a game and a half
right,
where he
yeah.
didn't play. Elijah actually had two really good practices. And I'm not – it wasn't that I was planning to play him per se, but I wasn't afraid to play him because he had two really good practices. I thought he'd play well if we put him in, which we did. And, I mean, really, they got out to that start in the second half where they got the lead, and I put Elijah in, and he really made a couple plays that got us back. Just gave us some energy. So I was really happy to see that, the maturity of himself and Taylor, as we talked about before. I don't think I took Malik or Phil out in the second half after they played sparse minutes in the first half due to foul trouble. But it was just a really good win in front of a terrific crowd.
Yes.
And we're very, very
– biggest crowd of the year.
Biggest crowd of the year. And I know the start was exciting, and then after that it felt like a grind. I don't know how it was to watch. Felt like a lot of stops, a lot of kind of choppy ball. So hope everybody enjoyed it, and we'll come back. Thursday, right? Next home game?
Yep. Talking a little more about Elijah, is he advancing faster defensively or offensively?
It's a good question. I think it kind of depends on the day a little bit. Sometimes he struggles on one end or the other, but he is getting better at both. And so I don't know if I could measure either, And
but you seem to be quick to put him back in defensively. That's what made me think that.
Well, tonight he was really good defensively. He was getting a lot of ball pressure up top, and so that's really important in their man offense is ball pressure, and he was really the best we had. He's got a little more size to him and did a terrific job on the defensive end when our two smaller guards weren't quite as good for us.
Defensive rebounding, the difference between the first half and the second half, was it mostly just intensity and effort?
Without a doubt. I mean, without a doubt. They had, you know, they got those two rebounds on the same possession in the second half, got them 8-3.
That they had only one other one.
Yeah.
One other offensive rebound the entire second half, except for that one possession. Yep.
Yeah, so that, I mean, without a doubt, it was intensity and focus. I say that. Some of it was Phil and Malik were out in the first half. Okay. Two of our better rebounders. So that has something to do with it, without a doubt. But even when they were in to start the game, they were getting more offensive rebounds than we were. So disappointed, we kind of took us another step back. Now, we were down, we were minus 8 on the boards most of the afternoon. And we kept talking, if we do it right, we can tie this back up. And we don't win without it, because offensive and defensive rebounding down the stretch, we cut it, we only were minus 2. I mean, they were huge. They were huge for us.
David Njai, 6 blocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And numerous alterations.
Yeah, and some nice plays and moves. He made that nice little hook shot. And thought that was a great shot he missed. Got us off to a good start. Got a nice pass to Phil to start the game. But he was really good in the back of that zone, and we need that. We've talked about that. That can't be an every other game thing. Doubt has got to do that for us every night.
I think a lot of fans, including myself, we forget how much of the season he missed.
Yeah, all so, 3 seasons.
Right. So he's just now maybe starting to get his legs.
I hope so. I mean, if you take the 3 years he's played here, he's probably missed 35 games or so, I mean, in season and a half in some ways. And I'm hoping that that's the case, because we need that. And I don't think there's a huge – I don't think it's coincidence that when we kind of cut the lineup down and Dowd started playing more and playing better and well, that our defense has gotten better. I mean, those shots around the rim, if that's not Dowd, you make 3 or 4 of those, your percentages are vastly different. I mean, I think he's a big part of why we've had our defensive field goal percentage where it's been the last 3 games.
Now, you said you got 2 days off. What does that mean to the players?
Well, the reason we have 2, number one, is because the following week we have games on Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, so we have no days off. And so if you have a week where you play 3 games, you have no days off, you have to take 2 days off the week before or the week after. And so tomorrow will be completely off. So will Monday. We'll have a block of time Monday afternoon if they want to come in and get shots up. Which, I mean, 2 days in a row, most usually guys do that. But it's 2 days off. It still give us 2 days to prepare for Thursday's game. I'd rather play Wednesday, so we take 1 day off and then another day off Thursday. But that's okay. It'll be good for these guys to get some days off and handle it the right way. And I just told them, you can't lose your edge on days off. Sometimes you can exhale. And the truth is, in season, you should never exhale. You should relax and take care of your body, but you should never be like, oh, man. Because then you come to practice, you lose your edge. So
there's more of a concern on your part that you can lose your edge when you get back-to-back days off.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And it's not just the physical part, the mental part of the I know it sounds – I don't know if it sounds obvious or stupid, but 2 days off is a lot different than 1 day off. So, again, I don't know what that sounds. It's only 1 more day, but it's also double.
Right.
And it's the same thing when you get 3 or 4 days off in Christmas. You come back and you can actually lose a little bit of conditioning with 2 days off. Yeah. 3 days is a concern. But you can, again, you just kind of – you may lose your rhythm of competition, which we've been playing harder and playing better, and we've got to keep that.
All right. Well, hopefully they do weather those 2 days off, and hopefully they're prepared to take on the Salukis, because we know how tough they are, and they seem to be playing even better than they were earlier when we saw them.
They're playing great. They're playing great. I've watched a little bit of them just watching other teams. It's the same team, obviously, but they've got their 7- or 8-man rotation and a bunch of guys that are playing really hard. So I'm hoping our guys are looking forward to practice, number one, on Tuesday, and then preparing for another home game.
Don't forget, you don't have Monday off. You got the coaching show.
I got you.
And one of your players will also.
I almost forgot that. I was thinking about going recruiting Monday, but I forgot about that.
Yeah, well.
Thank you, though. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, and thank you
for the entertaining
victory. Keep up the good work, Coach.
Again, thanks to the great crowd. Let's get 7,000 more on Thursday. You know, I'm sure the Taste was a great day. It's always fun. I've never been there, but
come back.
Yeah, come on back. We only, three home games left.
That's right.
Three only.
Three home, three road,
and can't miss those.
No,
man,
none of them.
Absolutely.
Be here for all three.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks,
our post game conversation with Dan Muller, sponsored by Brad Barker Honda, where you are more than a customer, you are family. Go to 13-11 overall, and the Birds in the league now are 7-5. We're joined by Dauda David Njai, the junior from Senegal in Africa, who had 6 blocks in this game. Also, 5 rebounds, and he scored 8 points. It was a fantastic game, and Dauda, they needed a fantastic game from you to win this contest. Evansville is a pesky opponent, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they play really good, and the way the offense is very complex. We spend a lot of time in practice working on it. We know we have to guard a lot of the screens. We know everybody have to, like, put the work in, and everybody have to focus. So, honestly, it's fun playing against them, and it's always exciting.
You've been coming on here a little bit of late. Of course, you had to sit out the first, 14 games of the season. So how tough was it to get back in the flow after sitting for that long?
Honestly, even though I've been there before, it's still tough because it's just like you come back, you know, you have to get back in shape. You have to have a connection with the team again, right? When you come, there's games, and I only have like 1 practice on the first day, and there's a confidence thing too. Like it just, and there is a fear of being hurt again, and it's just like a lot of things combined. But my coaches trust me, and my teammates, they even know when you have a bad game, they come at you, they're like, oh, it's going to be pick up, even though sometimes they're hard on you. But that's what helps the most. And honestly, it's just coach believing me, that's what helped them much. And, but it's not easy, honestly.
Well, missing 13 or 14 games, you obviously were working a lot on your free throw shooting and that corner jumper. That's come a long way. That looks good. You promised me a couple years ago you were going to put up a 3 before your career was over. Any more thoughts on that?
For now, I'm just keep getting better on the things I can do, like shooting that shot and right for sure and got rebound. But who knows? There's always something exciting.
Your timing with blocking shots, is that something that you have to get back in the rhythm of doing?
Yes, absolutely. That was one thing that actually I was working the most in practice these few days, or even by myself, because the timing is honestly the most important thing. Like when I get back, my shot blocking wasn't the same way it was. I'm playing more minutes, which means I'm supposed to get more blocks than last year. And last year I was playing like 40 minutes, or sometimes I was getting like 6 props. So no matter what kind of game I have, to me, like I'm like, it's not a good game, because missing those blocks really like means a lot to me, because I love blocking shots.
Well, I was going to remind you, I interviewed you a year ago and I said, would you rather make a 3 or block a shot? And you didn't even hesitate. You said block a shot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. shooting a 3 is really not my job, and coach always said do your job. So I like to do my job first before I do something else.
And rebounding is your job as well, and you have done that well here at Illinois State. But it was a problem in the first half in this game. What, from your perspective, was the difference on the boards in the second half for you guys?
We honestly talk. We know there's something that needed fixed. Like, example, when I was going to block a shot, like, it's kind of hard to go block and then come back because the man I'm guarding, like, he's just already positioned. So we've told that the guard need to come, like, in front of the bigs, and the guard have to help us rebound more. And they did a great job on that on the second half. And I think I was a difference maker. Myself, too, when I go block shot, I just got to land quick and come back and either box out and just go for it. So I think that make a big difference in the second half.
2 days off, we're told, for you guys. I don't know if you've been told that yet. But your next game is not until Thursday night here at Redbird Arena. And the week after this, your games are all bunched together. So 2 days off this week, none next week. So Coach Muller, we were talking with him about the possibility of losing your focus when you're away from it for that long. Are you concerned about that from your vantage point?
I'm going to talk personally, because I don't know how other people feel, but I have confidence in my teammate. But personally, I think it won't make a difference, because I'm still going to get in the gym. Like, honestly, I can't. But from my point of view, me, I hate even taking one day off. Like, I have to get in the gym, because I honestly get out of shape quickly. So I just got to be playing basketball every day.
I can meet you over here tomorrow about 2 o'clock and put up some shots if you want to block a few.
Absolutely. I would love to. Let's do that tomorrow. So.
What is it about Evansville? You had 6 block shots at Evansville last year. What is it about the Purple Aces that you think you can block shots? Is it just their style of play, or is it just –
honestly, that's what I was thinking. I think that have to do with their style of playing sometimes, because they like to drive basket and they're not scared to come on me sometimes. And I think that's gonna be a game changer. I'm hoping more teams will come like that. And but it's something with their offense, and also they're a great team and they're not scared to take shots stuff. But
they are a good team, and they're a tough team to beat. Obviously, both of the games this year were a challenge to win. You didn't get to play in the first one, but you did get to play in this one, and you were a big factor. David, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Keep really appreciate it.
Keep up the great work.
Keep swatting those shots.
Thank you.
That's Dauda David Injai, the seven-footer, the junior from Dakar in Senegal, our player guest after this Redbird victory, 75-71 over the Purple Aces of Evansville.